In the last class, we were discussing a very important, at least seemingly, a question that was raised by Arjuna. As we have been often seeing this idea that Arjuna is a representative of all of us. He takes up the questions that we want answers, like we elect representatives, you know, to ask our questions, whatever problems we have in the Congress or in the State House or wherever, in the City Hall. We have our representatives, and if the representatives are right, then whatever questions are in our mind, whatever problems are bothering us, those are raised there and we try to get the solutions. So Arjuna understands that what problems we have because he is also one of us facing these problems. And so Arjuna raised that important issue there, that in that chapter Lord described that how we need to learn the control of mind. And all that we seek in life, of course, the ultimate goal, the God realization, that depends on the control of mind. How much control of mind we can attain, to that extent we can think of our progress. It is a parameter of the progress that as much control we have on our minds, so much progress we have on this path. And Arjuna asked a question that it sounds very difficult. It is almost impossible to control the mind. And Lord said, well, it appears like that, no doubt. I agree that it is difficult, but it can be achieved through the practice and dispassion. This practice has these positive and negative aspects. Firstly, to do whatever the teacher has told, the positive idea of marching towards the goal. And the negative aspect, that is, don't get distracted by other things. Stop all the distractions. So, by combining these two, you will gradually reach the goal. There is no doubt about it. The mind can be brought under control by these two things, as he used the words, that abhyasa and vairagya. You read this particular idea in Patanjali's Yoga Aphorisms also, that this is the way to do it. There is no shortcut. And there is no quick fix for that, that if I can take some pill, then all the mind will be under control. Is there some pill like that? Well, this is the pill. If you want to call it a pill, this abhyasa and vairagya, the practice of trying to control the mind and stopping the distractions. There is no other pill for this. And also Lord emphasized that there is no other choice either. If you are thinking that if there is a little easier path, we can go by that, why I have to go by this control of mind and all. If there is some other path, a shortcut, or something that will bypass this tedious aspect of controlling the mind, then I can take that path. But Lord says, sorry, and there is no other path. Asanyatatmanatu yogo dushprapa. That this yoga is not obtainable by those who do not control the mind. There is no choice in that matter. There is no other path. You have to go by that. So this was made amply clear. Now another thought came to Arjuna's mind. And that is again a commonly asked question. It comes to our minds often that as spiritual aspirants, we have, you know, the, of course, the ideal is there, we want to reach the ideal. But there are also the drags that are pulling us towards the world. So, in our mind, there is some value associated to this world. So, a question that cropped up in Arjuna's mind was, suppose I start my journey, I leave this place and march towards that. That is a picture, you know, that okay, I give up this and march to that, my ideal. And suppose, you know, I die before achieving the goal, then I lost both, is it not? Now I have got this world with me, the sense enjoyments and all are there. Now if I am to use to tell me that you control the mind and march towards that goal, understood, if I get that, that is fine. But life is uncertain. Moreover, there are distractions, although you do not want to go by that, still there are those powerful drags that may take you in the some different directions. And in that case, then whatever progress we have achieved, that will be all gone. What is then, what are we left with? This is gone, that also is gone. I am gone from both sides. So, this is the doubt in my mind. Like the clouds, Arjuna gave the analogy, that the clouds that are, you know, not very, that dark clouds containing water, just rain clouds, they come and pass through the skies, and just in a few minutes, you see, they are all gone. You don't find them anywhere. They are just evaporated. Like that, our life also, this soul also is lost. He has discarded this and not got that. So, we always have this fear in anything that we do. Suppose I give up this job and to get the next one, that is a very nice lucrative offer, I understand. But if I give up this and cannot do that, then I lose this and that too, gone from both sides. It is that idea is there, that anything that we want to do, there is this thought that I have to give up this, and if I cannot adjust to that, or if I do not get that, what can be done? It is certainly a problem, and this problem that is in the worldly life gets there in the our spiritual pursuit too, as the question of Arjuna suggests, that yes, it sounds very good that I give up this, and but while going there, in between, life is uncertain, how long, you are not giving even a time frame, Lord Krishna, that it will require, say, 6 months, like in our school courses, there are time period, that 4-year course, or 6 years, and something like that. You are not able to give me any time frame either. So, how long does it take, one doesn't know. The life is not going to last for too long a time. So if I die before achieving that goal, then I lose this as well as that. Moreover, I am putting so much of intense effort in achieving this goal. And that also will be gone. I do not get the remuneration for the hours I am spending in spiritual life. One, you know, starts calculating that how much do I get out of it. If I put in so many hours of work, I get per hour so much. Now in this, you get something if you complete the job. That is, you realize the goal, you get something. May a very big thing. But suppose you are not able to get there, then all the efforts that you have put in, that is all gone. What is this? Do you have any answer for this? And Lord said, it's a beautiful answer here.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha Partha Naiveha Namutra Vinashastasya Vidyate Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschi Durgatim Tata Gacchati. The Blessed Lord said, verily neither here nor hereafter, O Partha, is there a destruction for him. For the doer of good, my child, never comes by evil, never comes to anything bad. This is an assurance given by Lord. We have to see what the meaning of this is. He will further elucidate what happens if this person dies. It is a question that is raised by Arjuna, tells the condition of the Arjuna's mind and our minds also. And one commentator very beautifully illustrated that condition. That although we associate a great value with God, still in our minds this world also has some value. We crave for this also. And therefore this question makes sense. Suppose I ask this question, Mike, you have lot of these dollar bills. They are fake, therefore they are trash, you see. They are fake. Why are you holding these fake bills? If you give up them, I will give you the real dollar bills. And will Mike ask this question, that okay, if I give up this these fake bills, and if I don't get those, it is at least you have gotten rid of the trash, is it not? It is no question of, even if you don't get those real dollar bills, what is the point of holding on to this trash? What is this world, friends? There is nothing worth obtaining here. If somebody is, say, looking at the, sitting knee under an apple tree, and there are the shadows of the apples, and is looking at them, trying to pick up the shadows. A man comes looking at his foolish attempt, says that, oh, give up you won't get anything out of this effort. These are only shadows. They are not apples. Why are you wasting your time? Look up, climb the tree and get the apples. That is, then you will feel satisfied. Then, will that person say, but then I will lose these apples. These apples, these shadows, I will lose them. Is it any loss, losing these shadows? It is not a loss at all. Losing this world is not a loss at all. Let us remind this. Let us imprint it on our minds clearly. There is absolutely nothing worth here. It is only a bondage. It is only something that we stick to and cannot get rid of. So that is this world. What is there to be worth possessing? There is nothing there. And therefore, even if you lose this, what are you going to lose? You are going to lose nothing. So this is first idea to be understood. That who gets this question? The one who does not have a clear idea of what yoga is. This yoga is taking you to truth, to reality. And what you are giving up here is that which is not true, that which is unreal. Now, unreal, how much it may be, what is the use of collecting it? You having so many unreal things, does it really mean anything? It has no meaning at all. So this is that a commentator very beautifully illustrated that this question makes sense to us only because we associate lot of value with worldly things. In fact, we associate more value to the world than to God. God, okay, maybe sometimes we may think about it, but first let me secure this world. And then later on let me think of God. So this insecure world, because it is unreal, it is always insecure. You cannot have any security here. And for that, what are we giving up? The real security. That we are ready to give up for this, this seeming unreal, really something that can never give us security. We try to cling to that. So, therefore, this question also illustrates this idea. Lord, in his answer, says, first of all, know that if you are trying this good effort, you have nothing to fear from. You will not come to any loss. There is nothing that will be nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tat gachyati. He says that, oh my dear, for doing all this good you will not come to any evil, you will not have to suffer. Do not think of that. What will happen if you die without reaching the goal? Then you will get reborn with all the merits that you have acquired while in this on this path of yoga in this life. Those things will be with you. You will get that will not be destroyed in your next birth. That will continue with you. Do we say that, well, I have to go to some place and I am driving, but what if on the street there is the red light comes? Well, you stop, and then when it becomes green, you start from the point that you were standing. You don't have to go back and start all over again. So similarly, death is kind of a red light, you stop to the journey, and then from there you go again onwards. It is not that you are losing anything. Whatever journey you have already accomplished, that is there. Suppose you have to go, say, 50 miles, and you came to, say, 40 miles you have done, and you get the red light. Now you stop. Now when it becomes green again, you have just 10 miles more to go. Not that you have to again start all the 50-mile journey. You have already achieved those 40 miles. That stays with you. You don't have to begin from the beginning. And nothing is lost there. You have, whatever journey you have already accomplished will be with you. So he says that you will be born. Shuchi nam srimatam gehe. Prapya punya kritam lokam ushitva shashvati samaha shuchinam shrimatam gehe yoga brishto bhijayate. Having attained the worlds of the righteous and lived there for many, many years, one who has fallen from yoga is born again in the house of the pure and prosperous. Now, here comes a very important principle in Vedanta and Sankhya, that how a person is reborn. A normal idea is that the parents, they transmit their tendencies and all to the baby, to the soul. Those things are transmitted from the parents. But Indian thought is very different about it. It is the soul that chooses the proper parents to be born in. It is a very different idea. It is not that the parents get a child. It is the child who gets the parents. It is, what will you say, you get the shirt that is appropriate for your body and is suitable, or it is purchasable by you within the available money, something that you can afford. You get that, or the shirt gets you. You don't say that the shirt gets me. It is you who get the shirt, according to your need, according to your size, according to what you like, and according to the money that you can afford. According to all this, you get the shirt. Body is compared to the clothing, you know. And so, when one shirt is to be discarded, you take the other one, you go and buy the next one. So, you take the next body according to your tendencies. Now, you already had the spiritual tendencies. You could not reach the fructification of them, that is all right. But those tendencies will now guide you which shirt, this which body is to be picked up. And you will pick up corresponding parents. It is not that the parents make the child. It is a very foolish idea. Parents do not do that. Parents are just instruments. Instruments do not have much choice as such. Does a pen decide what to write? Vishwanath is continuously busy writing. And now, is Vishwanath writing or the pen writing? We will say, well, Vishwanath, you have taken very good notes. We don't say, hey, pen, wow, what a wonderful job you have done. So similarly, the parents' job is like that of instrument, that they do not conscientiously, they do not make anything. They are not conscious of that the child is being made by them. No parents can tell that how they made the eye, how they made the ear, how they made the nose. No, it has all happened without their being conscious. They were just instruments. Something brought them together, got them engaged in some act, and then something happened, that's all, on which they really had no control whatever. So parents did not really give birth to the child. It was something that the child, for its need, made them do. It is that kind of thing it is. So therefore, parents they choose, it is accordingly, you know, the tendencies. Like when you choose a house, how do you choose a house? Depending on what, suppose somebody is very much inclined to music, then that person will see that my house should have, you know, a nice music room and such things. Somebody is interested in sports, hey, I would like to have a tennis court and such things. Somebody likes to have a swimming, this thing. So it depends, you know, if somebody is a devotee, feels that, well, I should have some nice place where I can put shrine. So this is, the house is chosen accordingly. Some would choose the house, well, I would like to choose near a church or a Vedanta society or something. I will choose my house accordingly. And some people would choose, no, I like to all this business and all that, so I will choose my house near Wall Street, maybe. It is. It depends on what you like and such stuff. So, this person chooses the house, the family to be born in accordingly. And thus, he says, what will be that? Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe. What beautiful words are, you know, that first after dying, well, whatever meritorious deeds he or she, now there is no gender there, where the body alone has gender. When this soul becomes free from gender, Triveni, there is no man or woman there, you see. It is no he or she. The soul has no he or she. This is a problem, you know, in some these religious ideas. I was talking the other day to a priest that... a Catholic priest. We were having an interfaith meeting, and the idea is that how does your religion look upon death and what happens after death? So the nice discussion, you know. So he said, well, the soul goes there and then in the heaven, and then in the heaven they live there like that with God, and he said that man will be man, woman will be woman there, and therefore in Catholics we completely discourage the idea of divorce, because if they get divorced on the earth, again now that man goes to heaven will have to find another wife or something. Said, what do you mean there? You know that it is to discourage the idea of divorce for some other reasons, that is fine. I have nothing to say about it. But it is, do you mean to say that there is sex beyond body, or you mean that they go to the heaven with the body? So he said, well, it is, I understand the difficulty. He is a very honest man. He said that I understand the difficulty. I cannot really answer this question, but this is what our belief is, that you go and the man is like man, woman will be like woman, and so forth. So therefore, the heaven that one feels is like that, but the gender idea is just limited to this body. You see, there is nothing beyond that. It has no connection beyond that. So, this person goes to that loka, means where, because of his meritorious deeds, he can get better enjoyments. A great commentator, Jnaneshwar, He writes in this commentary here that, you see, there on the earth you don't get good enjoyments, they are all very stale. And so we imagine in the heaven there will be all wonderful things. In heaven I can eat all the sweets, there is no question of being diabetic or anything. And here you are always told to, you know, restrict your diet and so forth, watch your cholesterol levels and sugar levels and what not, and watch your weight. So, but in heaven you can eat all that stuff without the question of, you know, need to diet. You don't have any such problem. So all those enjoyments we imagine, that here we really do not get. In heaven, well, your wife will never quarrel with you, never will talk back to you, and so forth. Here it is a problem people feel, you see. And so it is, in heaven, all those problems will be completely gone. So people keep on feeling, having such ideas. So, the better ways of enjoying. So, Jnaneshwar says that after enjoying all those things there,
I have to use some words, so gets again bored, that there is nothing worth achieving there too.
Here also he says that they are like earth only, there is nothing more than that. The earthly life and that life is not different. Only a different sort, different taste, that's all. But nothing worth enjoying there either. So gets completely disgusted with that. Gets a higher level of dispassion. The level of dispassion depends on what we are aware of. And we therefore keep on thinking that, well, these enjoyments are not good, but the heavenly enjoyments will be worth possessing. So this person gets completely disillusioned about those also. And after that, whatever enjoyment he had, that vacation is over, he gets bored. Like vacation, you know, you feel here working Monday through Friday, and all these days you keep on waiting for the long weekend or something, or accumulated vacation. Then what do you do? Well, maybe I will take a Caribbean cruise and then have a nice stay on the cruise. It will be so relaxing, so enjoyable. What happens? Well, you pay a lot of money and you come back and you tell your friends, wow, it was wonderful and I got a great deal, you know. Maybe that is an idea in telling, that I got a great deal. So we went there, and after finishing the vacation, what you do? Again, the same job. So here also this person finishes his so-called heavenly vacation after getting released from the body, and then again, according to those tendencies, gets the body. And what is that body? That the pure-hearted people will be chosen by this person, Shuchi Nam. There will be the search for pure and good things in life. That family, not that, well, the parents are both after drinking and merriment and like that. Not that. There will be the parents already will be having a home that is full of the devotional vibrations. So it becomes easier now to continue the practice. It won't have those problems that others may have, you know, that there is too much worldly vibrations in the home that won't allow you to easily practice. There will be a lot of resistance. There will be a lot of quarrels at the home over property and this and that. And so those vibrations are not certainly very conducive to spiritual practice. So this newborn will be born in a place where the whole idea of the household would be a spiritual practice. The mother, father, other relations, the family will be a devoted family. And also Srimatam in the sense, there will not be a dearth of the material things. Not that person, they will be very rich in that sense, that either they will be Bill Gates or Warren Buffett, right? Not that. It is, they will not have the dearth for the most necessary things in the life. Because what happens if somebody has to keep on continuously working for just bare necessities? Then the spiritual struggle takes a back seat. Because it is only after you fulfill your physical necessities that you can think of other things. You can think of journey in the car. If there is first fuel available to be put in the car, if there is no fuel available, then you cannot really think of any long journey. First you have to keep on thinking of the fuel. So similarly, in those places, those families where there is the terrible economic dearth, then it may become difficult. So this soul has chosen a family where there is, comparatively speaking, not much of dearth of at least the daily needs for a comfortable life. So this yoga bhrashta means the one who could not complete the journey. Yoga bhrashta means deviated from the path, not in the sense that while being on the path, this person thought, no, I don't need to go on spiritual journey at all. Let me go back. That is not the idea here. This idea is that of a person who could not complete the journey. And that is here, the person is called yoga bhrashta, could not complete the practice of yoga. So such a person therefore is born like that. Or there is another possibility, yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam. That next verse, athva yoginam eva kule bhavati dhimatam etadhi durlabhataram loke janmayade drisham. Or he or she is born, reborn even in the family of yogis who are wise, and such birth is rare indeed in this world. And the parents are spiritual aspirants. They are striving themselves. Everybody in the household is just steeped in devotion and spiritual practices. Yes, there are some families, I know quite a few families where the spiritual pursuit is the only worry, only thing that they want in life. Other things they have already taken the back seat. They are not a matter of concern. If that is the only thing that I want, nothing more. Many such families I know, they are aware the pursuit of this goal, pursuit of the spiritual goal in life, that is the only thing worth achieving. All other things are not cared for at all. So that is a great difference in attitude. Otherwise, what happens is the parents, they have this idea that we should get more wealth, more enjoyment, more name and fame. So even if the son or daughter wants to take a different path, there is tremendous resistance. That why you want to do that? The life is meant for all these things. Get more money, get more prestige in society, do good to the world. Maximum is this, that make this world better. You can contribute to make this world better by doing better business and getting more money. Why you want to renounce money and go for God realization? That is not required. Earn more money and do good business. By that you will be able to do good to the world much better. Then you can start a big business, you can give employment to so many, you will be doing good to so many people. So that is the idea of such people. Their focus is this world, making this world so-called better. If we have discussed those points many times, I don't want now to go into those again. that there is no definition of what is this better of this world. The world, somebody thinks that this will be better for the world, somebody else thinks that will be, something else will be better for the world. There is no clear idea of what is better for the world. So, that is, some families are just like that, and so it becomes very difficult for a young person there to think differently. A lot of obstacles come in the path that there, but here, since the family is all already tuned to that ideal, they do not hinder, in fact they encourage their children also to take up this path of yoga. So, Lord says this is very rare. Why did they get such parents? Not that therefore we all should say, oh, what to do, you know, I could have done better if I had different parents. That is not the idea. You strive to the best of ability that you are in. You got very good parents, no doubt. Do whatever best you can. But he says it is very rare to get such birth in such a family. Because otherwise there will be family feuds, quarrels, all the bad habits already inculcated and passed on to the children. So it is very difficult. I saw one a small child had come with, we had some nice music program, and then that child, we just asked, there was another Swami, he asked the child, hey, after, when you grow big, will you become, do you want to become a great singer like your dad? And this little child said, no. He will smoke like his dad, you know. Because he sees his dad smoking, and he is told, no, dad smoke, he is grown up. When you grow up, then you can think of doing that. Not now. So the child is waiting, you know, that let me grow up so that I can start smoking. Those things can be picked up more easily than, you know, singing or something that is higher. So, if there is this tendency of spiritual elevation and encouragement for that in the family, it becomes a wonderful combination. So, His Lord says, it is really very rare to have this privilege, and this person has this privilege because he had been practicing for this for a long, long time in the past birth, could not complete, that's all. So now he begins from where he left. He begins his journey where he stopped, like we take break many times, we go for a journey, and then after driving the whole day, then one feels tired, then you spend a night in some motel, and then from there you continue your journey next morning. So it is like that while going on this path, you died, means in a way, in our scriptures, even the sleep is considered a death that happens every day. A death that happens every day is sleep. You see, when you are asleep, you are not aware of yourself or this world. It is, you are completely unaware of what's going on around. You are kind of dead. So, that is a death that happens every day. But then you start from the morning, whatever you had done the earlier day, you start onwards from there. So similarly, that you never lose what you have achieved, you go ahead from there. So he says that in the next verse,
Tatratam buddhi sanyogam labhate purvadaihikam yatate chatato bhuyah sansiddhau kurunandana.
There he comes in contact with knowledge acquired in the previous birth and strives harder than before for perfection, O descendant of Guru, that is Arjuna. So, that connection he gets again, that knowledge that has been acquired earlier, that is not gone. In the new birth, again, that is there and starts working from there onwards. That knowledge of unreality of the world, the knowledge that God is the goal of our life, that is there. That is why you see some children, they already have this mindset. They therefore automatically that becomes their tendency. It is, I know many where the parents got inspiration from the children to become spiritual. It is not that genetically it was transmitted by parents to the children, but the children, and they got this inspiration where from? In the past birth. They had it in the past birth. Now they get connected to it. It is many, many such instances have been found. I have seen many such cases myself. That suddenly, you know, that many people keep on walking on, this is Angel Street here, it's a pretty busy street. People drive on it, walk on it. Not all get the tendency to get in and see what is there. Even if somebody by curiosity knocks on the door, or when there is a program, walks in and listens, not that everybody feels any connection. Some feel that, yes, there is something that connects to me, something that I feel meaningful, something that is going to bring me illumination. It is not very easily definable because it is not just logic that connects it. It is something more than that, something deeper than that makes the connection. And that person therefore becomes deeply involved in the spiritual practices. Then the parents, they keep on thinking, what happened to this boy? And sometimes they get worried, but if they also have the grain of this idea, this has happened with many students, you know, from the Brown University, and just while walking, somebody gets the inspiration. Now, where from did they get the inspiration? It was not certainly provided by the parents. It was also not provided in their classes in the university. It is something while walking called them, they felt connected, and then they came, and then they felt the inspiration, and then that inspiration later on got carried to the parents too. So, what was the connection now? The connection was what he had done earlier in the past birth. Otherwise, you will not be able to see the source of it. Where did it come from? It is, we sometimes say, people who think that they are scientific just because they have got some degree in some science stream, and ask the question, is there any proof for reincarnation? You can just explain it by this idea that it is just genetic transmission, heredity transmission. So why you need the idea of reincarnation? Well, friends, there is really no way you can explain these things other than through reincarnation. And since that is the first proof that the scientific attitude tells that the explanation that fulfills the most of the facts, explains most of the facts, that explanation is to be taken up unless you have a better one. So, what better explanation you have? Really none. Then what objection do you have to this idea that the reincarnation? Really no objection can be raised. One objection is raised, but that is so foolish, so silly, that it is that why do we not remember our past births? Swami Vivekananda has answered it so beautifully, and at so many places he has given this, that do we really remember that what you did when you were three months old? Do you have the memory of what you did when you were 3 months old? So therefore, because you do not have the memory, I don't know what I did at 3 months old. So will Simanti reject that I never was 3 months old, I became suddenly 10 years old only? No, it is foolish, you see. We all understand that I had to be 1 month old or 2 months old, 3 months old, whether I remember it or not. I certainly was at that age. So, memory is not at all required to prove the existence. Just because you don't remember doesn't mean that you were not there. So, just because you don't remember your past birth doesn't prove. It is not at all a valid objection that I was not existing at that time. You were very much in existence. It is, there is no other real explanation for our learning process also. That how do we learn? Learning always requires, you know, matching of what you already know with what is the incoming inputs. All those inputs need to be corroborated with what is already there. If there is nothing already there is no learning possible at all. And therefore, the very fact that we learn shows that there is a previous birth. And therefore, Lord says here that whatever knowledge he had acquired earlier, that gets connected. And from there, that person moves on. And moves because of that knowledge earlier. And this person moves on in that path faster than others. And some people learn some musical instrument, say violin playing, put lot of effort, still do not learn much. Somebody just picks it up and starts playing without any problem. Where did that person get that knowledge? Some people have that musical ear and musical skills right from the birth. I saw a small child playing these Indian drums, that tabla. The fellow was so small when I saw that he had to be put on 3-4 pillows just to make these fingers reach that tabla. And he played as if, wow, a person with, say, 20-25 years had trained. So how can you explain it? And this is a fact that we have observed. All of you must have observed many such things. Then you give a name to it. Giving name is not an explanation. You will say child prodigy. What does it mean, child prodigy? Where did it the fellow get that knowledge? That is the question. So it is in the previous birth is the only explanation. There is no other explanation for that. Of course, we had previously also in the study of Bhagavad Gita many occasions to discuss these ideas, and in the coming chapters too, we will get the scope for discussing the concept of reincarnation and how it can give us guidance in conducting our life. So we shall stop here for today, and then continue the class. That will be next. Will be the last class of Bhagavad Gita coming Friday, and it will be the last class before we close for the summer. And then we will again, like in the past births, you know. We will, when we reopen again after the summer, we will begin from, not from the first chapter, but from where we left, you see. So it is, we will conclude with the closing prayers. Of course, if you have some questions, you can ask. Yes, Shiva?
What species
Well, again, that depends on your tendencies and how much you have the money to pay. Just when you want to buy a new shirt, how do you select the new shirt? Depending on your likings and depending on the money that you can afford to, something you may like, and you see the price tag, $600. You say, forget it. I don't want to spend $600 for this shirt. Then you see how much you can spend. Well, $50, maximum $60. Then you look for within that limit. You see what you like and choose it. So similarly, the next birth depends on these two, what you want to, what are your tendencies, what you like, and how much you can spend means how much karma, good karma you have acquired, how much meritorious acts you have done. And what is meritorious act? It is an unselfish act. Here also, you know, you work for someone, that fellow pays you, and you accumulate money, is it not? If you are just cutting your hair, nobody pays you. But if you open a saloon and cut somebody's hair, then that fellow pays you. So, that is how you earn money in this life, working for others, you see. Similarly, when you do unselfish works here, without any selfish motive, why they are meritorious? Because that becomes your money to get the new body. When this body is gone, now you want to get the new body. Now suppose your tendency is just like that, that, oh, I don't want to work, I want to just rest, relax. And that tendency, inertiatic tendency, just all the time want to be just a couch potato and that, sit there, that's all. Then you will be born like a stone or something, you see. It is, that because then you don't have to move, you see. So that is your, the tendency will determine that, that let me be born in the species of a stone. Doesn't have to work, doesn't have to move, fine. But if you have the tendency, say, suppose I want to eat a lot. Human body is not suitable for eating a lot. And we get a lot of stomach problems here and there, so many allergies and such things. And so, but you want to eat a lot, then you may become a pig or a cow or something that can eat a lot, you see, and without getting any stomach ache. I don't see any cow getting a stomach ache, you see. It is only human beings. So it is like that. You choose like that what you want to do. It is accordingly you get the body. Human body has a very special mechanism, and that mechanism is to see what is right and what is not right, separate from what is liked and not liked. In other species, that most of the other species, we don't, after all, this is a human judgment. So, in most of the species, as we find, their likes automatically are what is right for them. What they like is right, what they don't like is wrong. That is, so life is kind of simple. Nothing complicated in most of the animal species. There is no religion or morality, therefore, for them. You know, no. You'd never call a dog immoral. You see, there is the dog biting. The dog bites man. The dog is not punished. That fellow whose dog is, that fellow is questioned. So, because it is the dog's tendency, there is no right or wrong for the dog. But for human beings, something you may like, in that, but it may be wrong. So, like you may like your neighbor's car, can you steal it? Will it be right if you steal it? Your conscience will not allow it. You will say, oh, I like it, but that doesn't mean I should snatch it. So, human beings have this very special mechanism to distinguish right and wrong. And thus, human beings therefore can suppress these likes and dislikes for that pursuit of right. And therefore, there is that idea of psychological evolution for human beings, and therefore they can attain freedom. So, that freedom is not there for other species. So, the species that you get is dependent on these things, that what are your tendencies, what you want. So, according to that, you choose the species, and then even though you want body of a human being, do you have enough cash? Enough thing to pay, credit cards won't work there, you know, you have to pay in cash. So, can you pay in the debt? If you can, you get it. If you don't, so both these things need to be combined and to get that what species you get born. So, that is the idea. Yes, John? Yeah. Well, the one. See, there is that tendency will affect the one who is judging. That will certainly accrue bad karma for the one who is judging this, and labeling that person to be. Must have committed many bad acts or bad person. But it is true that you get what you deserve. It is, that also is true. That it is, that no one but me to blame. Always it is true, you know, that there is nobody else to blame. There is no blame that you can put on your parents or on the surroundings. You sang that song, is this, that couple of weeks ago, that Swami Vivekananda's poem, "No one but me to blame." It is, but once it is for one to blame, it is not for me to go and blame somebody. That will accrue bad karma for me. So, it is not for us to judge all those things, you know, that it is, that person is, must have had bad karma, maybe, or good karma, who knows, you know. So, it is, sometimes it may be a good karma too, because person born with these handicaps has the more tendency to overcome those things. The bigger the obstacles, the bigger is the inner force to overcome it. When do you get the tougher tests? When you start appearing for something higher in life? When you are appearing only for the kindergarten test, the questions are just very simple. But that doesn't take your education very far. So, if you want to do your master's, then the questions will be automatically tough questions. So this baby, you can think it from this point of view, that he's put very tough questions in life, very challenging questions. But these challenges automatically, you know, they open the doors for the big opportunities too. So from this angle also one can see it, you see. Welcome. Yes, Diane?
If someone is not born a human being,
yes,
let's say they're a rock or a lower species, how do they have the opportunity to evolve?
Ah, that's a very good question. Yeah. How do they have the opportunity to evolve? See, there, whatever they had accumulated earlier to get this, say, rock body or whatever, it, when that goes away, again there is the opportunity open. When that body, rock body, that they, because this soul is always looking to evolve. That is the main source of evolution. As that Patanjali in the Yoga Aphorisms describe, our Swami Vivekananda puts it, that each soul being potentially divine, and there is always this propensity, this tremendous urge to manifest this divinity. And that is the actual force for evolution. That is what makes for evolution. Even the Darwinian evolution also is outcome of this. Although Darwin doesn't acknowledge this or understand this, but this is the source of all evolution, that the inner divinity is looking for manifestation. So, is in the stone body, doesn't feel that the stone body is able to manifest the divinity adequately. So, changes for another body. Patanjali says that is how the species change, prakritya purat, to fulfill the natural propensity for manifestation of divinity. Yes, George? Yeah, death is also the same thing, cause and effect, yeah.
It's very logical.
Yeah.
Something you do in life, you pay a price for one way or another.
That's true. So even this is like that.
So your whole life can be a testimony to what you
can
have back.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a guess.
Huh?
It's a guess.
It is the best possible guess. If you want to say guess, it is the best possible guess. It is because the what we call logical connections, they are also in the realm of guess. There is nothing logical as such. That Mullah Nasiruddin story is there, very beautiful story. He was walking under the tree and somebody had climbed on the tree and the branch broke and the fellow fell on the shoulder of Mullah. So what happened was, this Mullah Nasiruddin had to be taken to hospital. His neck broke. The one who fell, they escaped with some minor scratches. Nothing happened to him because he fell on his shoulders. So Mullah said, look, what is the logic here? That fellow fell and my neck broke. Is it any law? And that fellow fell means that fellow's neck should have been broken, you know. That fellow should have injured. That fellow escaped unhurt. And I was just passing on the street and my neck broke. So, it is, the logic means it is a guesswork. Sometimes we don't understand that about logic. We feel logic means it is certain. It is not certain. It is also a guesswork, an educated, better guess. So, this is, if you want to call it that, fine, you know, it is the best possible guess. Yeah. Yes, Terry?
I just want to make a comment about Saint Teresa. She was born into a family that was very loving and very spiritual, yet she was very ill.
So is it possible that when the soul, the spirit, chooses the next body, they're choosing it with all the experiences that they want to have, good and bad, you know, healthy or not healthy, informed or not informed, or is it only karma?
Both of these are there. As I told in the beginning, that it is a combination of what you are looking for and what you are capable of getting. There is no perfect body possible. You can only choose amongst the availables within your buying capacity. So it is. There is nothing like one man was looking for a perfect house. You know, they wanted to. He had come to the town newly, and you know, after coming to Providence, wanted some house to rent. So told somebody that house agents and all. I want a house. It should be very close to the shops. I don't like to go about to too far a distance. And then it should be a very good neighborhood. The neighborhood should be very good. The school should be very close to, because I have children and I don't want to send them to school that is far away. Then I and my husband, we have jobs around there. So it should be not too far away from our jobs either. And it should be big enough. There should be good facilities. Kitchen should be very well arranged. I should like these things in the kitchen. They should be perfect. And the bedroom should be like that. Bathroom should be like this. I want all these in my bathroom. And then we don't make too much of money. The rent should be low too. Then what that you are going to get, this cannot be fulfilled, you see. All these conditions cannot be fulfilled. There doesn't exist a house which can be had for all these conditions. So, therefore you choose what best one you can, that's all. So let us conclude with the closing prayers. And as you know, the retreat is coming up, spiritual retreat, on June 26th. Those of you who would like to register, they can do that in the book room. Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarehi ya svayam padmanabhasya Mukhapadmadvinesrita Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva Eko Mantrah Tasya Namaniyani Karma Pekam Tasya Devasya Seva